It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree." Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did 4 times. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. Man, have I ever been right there? Ever been displeased with yourself? That's almost the only time you ever get anything in your life fixed, is when you get displeased with yourself. Anyway, for a minute. "And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, 'Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed.' Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, 'Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.'" Daniel had a testimony. "And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, 'O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?'" I've always thought that verse is most remarkable. Because here's a pagan king who worships the host of heaven, and he's got more faith in God than most Christians. Now, he wasn't sure that the Lord would deliver, but he had enough faith in God to go find out. Amen. "Then said Daniel to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. Let's pray. Father, help us now to preach. We pray that you would give us boldness to speak as we ought to speak. Give us courage to say what needs to be said. May the Word of God take root in our heart, do a work that needs to be done. Help us to be better men and better women for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, I want to bring you a little message tonight on Daniel, a man of principle. Boy, do we ever need some of that. It seems like everywhere you look in government circles and in business at the highest levels in the nation, we don't have any men of principle anymore. Nobody seems to have any character or integrity. Some of the greatest financial institutions in the world, certainly some of the greatest financial institutions in the United States of America, it seems to be just one scandal after another, where people who have been entrusted with billions of dollars of other people's money have misused it and stolen it and practiced illegal business practices to make money for themselves. Men in government seem to have no character, no integrity. I was talking to Brother Bobby Utley the other night over at Brother Jason Coley's at the revival meeting, and we were talking. And everybody is upset that Colin Powell doesn't seem to be the man everybody thought he was going to be. Now, I told my wife before they ever got Colin Powell in there, the man had no character and he had no courage. The hero in the Gulf War was not Colin Powell, it was General Schwarzkopf. And Colin Powell is just a liberal left-wing Republican lackey without any courage or conviction. And so, preacher, you don't like him, do you? Well, now that you ask me, no, I don't. He doesn't have any character. He plays up one side, and he's got a separate agenda all of his own. He doesn't have enough character to support the president. He's always undermining official position of the administration. He ought not to do that. If he can't back him up, he ought to resign. Get his black carcass out of there. Amen, amen, and amen, preacher. Not just in America, but around the world, you find that men and women seem to have no character anymore, and that their lives are not guided by principle. Whatever is expedient, whatever is most convenient at the moment, whatever will cause me the least grief or heartache right now, is the path that most people take. Not worried about consequence or results down the road. Will it make me look bad today? Will it gratify me today? And that's how they live their life. From situation to situation and problem to problem. No principle to guide them. The only thing they're really concerned about is, how does it affect me? I'm afraid of people who have character, people who have principle, sometimes have to do things or have to live in a certain way. That's not going to be good for them. It's going to cost. There's going to be a price to pay for it. Because you're going to have to go against most of society. You're going to have to go against most of the church. You're going to have to go against most of your family if you have principle. But Daniel is a man who had principle. And I want to look at that for a few minutes and give you seven or eight little things, and then we'll go home or go down and have your Sunday evening snack and fellowship time. Amen? Let me point out several things in the passage we read about Daniel that demonstrates beyond question that Daniel had principle, that Daniel was a man of character. Number one, look back in verse 3. Said, then was Daniel preferred above the president's princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, there were only three presidents or three leaders under the king who were responsible for all the finances And all the operations of the government were entrusted into these three cabinet leaders. Daniel was the head one. He is already numero uno, or number two, in the kingdom. The only person higher than him is the king himself. But look at what it said about him. It said there was an excellent spirit found in him. Daniel is one of those rare individuals who did not believe all his press, who did not get carried away with his own importance, who did not get consumed with his own power, his own position. He just stayed an ordinary guy. And he didn't get to be a big shot looking down at everybody else. He retained his excellent spirit. How unlike most people. From the supervisor over the guy in charge of the garbage trucks to the President of the United States, it seems to be human nature that when given power or position over another, we instantly get ahead this big. We think we're important, that we're somebody. I'm the President of the United States. They're going to bury you. You understand that, stupid? They're going to bury you. You're going to die one of these days, the worm's going to eat you. I'm a congressman. They're going to bury you. And somebody else will take your place. Yeah. I'm a famous basketball player and I make $10 million a year. They're going to bury you. You're going to die and the worms are going to get you, stupid. And they'll hire somebody else. And they'll let you go now if they can get somebody for $100 a month less. I'm a famous race car driver. Well, your career will be short. You'll pass off the scene. It'll be as though you never were. Somebody else will take your place. They'll get the headlines, and that fool will think he's somebody. Amen. They made me a foreman down at the job. I'm important. They can't run the plant without me. Yes, they can. It was running before you got there. It'll be running when you were gone. Amen, amen, and amen.
I'm a supervisor.
Big deal. You know what's good about being a supervisor? I only have to live with my mistakes, not somebody else's. And it pays more money. But you know what it is? It's a job, like anybody else's job. People get hung up on themselves, what they are. You ain't nothing. You're an animated mud ball. You're going to die, and they're going to bury you. Don't get hung up on yourself. The world will go on without you. It made it 6,000 years, and if Jesus doesn't come, you'll die and pass off the scene, and the world will not miss one heartbeat. Amen. Daniel had enough sense to know he may be a big shot in the kingdom, but he's a little shot in the overall plan. Amen. That Bible said not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Say, well, I've got a talent. I can sing or I can... Do you know how hard it is to find people who can sing? You know how difficult it is to find people who can play instruments? You know how hard it is to find fellas who can preach? They're on every street corner. You know, I'd be a fool. People come by and say, shake your hand and say, preacher, boy, I really enjoyed that message. Boy, that was awesome. You're just the greatest. You don't bother me a bit. Appreciate the compliment. Just keep on walking. Don't slow down. I know who I am. They're going to bury me. I'm going to die. Somebody else will take over the pastorate. And the world will just keep right on going on. And on. I tell you what. Try and be a blessing while you're here. Amen. Try and do as good as you can while you're here. But don't get hung up on yourself. Keep a sweet spirit, okay? Because the minute you get hung up on yourself, let me tell you what disappears. That sweet spirit. You ever saw anybody hung up on themselves? They don't have a sweet spirit about them. How come so quiet in here? Have I said something wrong?
Too bad. So sad. That's the truth. We just get... You know people honestly take this place seriously? You are a pilgrim. You are just passing through. I'm not saying that you ought to make a joke. I don't mean that. But don't get so hung up on this place. This is not home. And no matter what you accomplish, no matter what you do, you're just one out of 6 million. With a couple of million on the way. And you'll die and be gone, and the world will just keep on and on and on and on. Better just do the best you can and prepare to die. Amen. People say, well, I'm preparing to live. I'm preparing for my old age. You might not make it to be old. Just keep a sweet spirit. Don't get hung up on yourself. If you can do something, if you've got a talent, if you've got an ability, use it for God. Give God the glory. Stay humble. That's what Daniel did. And he really was a big shot. Look at verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. So we'll find something about this boy. He's crooked. He's going to be cheating someplace. He's skimming off the top. Doing something. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Do you know what Daniel was? Daniel was honest as the day is long. His books were honest. He didn't cheat the king out of a dime. Amen. If they owed a bill, he paid it. If somebody owed him, he collected it. He was an honest man. He didn't take more than he was promised. He got his salary and his perks, and he didn't take another dime. And he made sure that nobody else did. Amen. When Daniel took care of the king's money, nobody ripped the king off. Say, why is that? Because he worked for the king, and it was his job, and he was an honest man. He was faithful to the one that hired him. Amen. Nowadays, boy, people rip the boss off in a heartbeat. They say, well, they won't miss it. It doesn't make any difference whether they miss it or not. It ain't yours. If you take it, you're a thief. You say, well, it was just a ballpoint pen. Yeah, but it was a ballpoint pen you didn't pay for. Amen. You say, well, I snuck off 15 minutes early yesterday. Yeah, well, you owe your boss a quarter of an hour. Next Friday, when you get paid, give it back to him because you stole it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Oh, preacher, that's so pity. Listen, if you'll steal 15 minutes, you'll steal anything. Yeah. If you'll steal one thing, what won't you steal? If you're dishonest in one area, what else are you dishonest about? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We need some folks who are honest, yeah, who tell the truth, who don't lie, cheat, steal. Their word is their bond. They're honest men and honest women. You can trust them with your money. You can trust them with your family. You can trust them with anything. So why? Because they're honest. Yeah. That's the kind of fellow Daniel was. Well, it's hard to find somebody that's honest. We let situation ethics dictate what we do. Well, that might be stealing under one circumstance, but under these circumstances, it's probably... No. Listen, sweetheart. If it's wrong, it's wrong. You got that? Yeah. If it's wrong on Monday, it's wrong on Friday. Yeah. And if it's wrong for that guy, it's wrong for you. Yeah. And if it was wrong yesterday, it's still wrong tomorrow. Yeah. What you are is a person without any principle. You're willing to bend the rules to fit the situation if it'll help you. Amen, amen, and amen, preacher. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into the house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Now, the government passed a law, said you can't pray unless you pray to the king. Well, Daniel wasn't a Kingite. He worshipped Jehovah. He worshipped the God of glory. The king wasn't his God. The God of heaven was his God.
Amen? Now, the Bible asks the question in the book of Acts, is it better to obey man or God? Well, Daniel answered that. The king said, you can't pray to anybody but me. Daniel went down and got on his knees, lifted his head toward heaven, and prayed to God three times a day. As he did aforetime. Wasn't a brand new thing. It wasn't Daniel just trying to stir up a ruckus and cause trouble in the kingdom. That was his manner of living, always had been, and he wasn't going to change it just because somebody passed a dumb thump law.
Amen.
Amen. Golly bum. These days, you know, if the government says you can't do something, everybody's supposed to lay down and obey the government. They don't want you to read your Bible. They don't want you passing out tracts, this, that, and the other. Well, to blazes with them. You judge, is it better to obey God or man? You got principle? You got any conviction about anything? Listen, that Bible said we're to worship God. We're to pray every day. We're to be a witness for Him. You ought to pass out tracts. You ought to invite folks to church. You ought to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And if the government don't like it, the government can take a flying leap. Daniel had convictions about some things. And he wouldn't alter them. You know, there's some things that we ought to live for. And there's some things we ought to be willing to die for. In our day and age, next to the Bible being the most unread book around, it's the most toted, but it's not the most read. Everybody carries one, but not everybody reading one. Next to that, probably Fox's Book of Martyrs is the next most unread book in the Christian library. We don't want to read about all those people laying down their lives for their witness for Jesus Christ. We don't want to think about them getting sewn in leather bags with scorpions and snakes and sewn up and thrown into the ocean. We don't want to think about them being burned at the stake, whipped and pulled apart on the rack. Took women and stripped them naked and beat them raw and then took them upside down and stuck them in the Danube till they drowned. Cut men's heads off in front of their wives and their children, trying to get them to recant their faith in Jesus Christ. Today, almost nobody believes anything is worth dying for. The idea is save your life, save yourself, save your reputation, save your job at any cost. No matter what you have to compromise, no matter what you have to give up, so long as you get yourself through it, just do what's necessary to survive. Listen, there are some things you ought to be willing to die for.
Amen. Amen.
You know why we got a generation of young men that won't go in the military? They're not willing to die for America. But public schools have been so busy telling us how wicked and ungodly our forefathers were. When I went to school, man, Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, John Quincy Adams, and all those guys were heroes. Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. I mean, man, those guys were sainted in my mind. When I went to school, those guys, I mean, everybody told about what great men they were and what character they had. Well, the last 25, 30 years, the public school has spent all its time and energy trying to make those guys into sexual perverts. Talking about their illegitimate children, some of them homosexual, and some of them were deists and didn't believe in God, and all this, that, and the other. Why do they want to do that? What's the point in that? Why would you want to undermine somebody's opinion of those men? Why would you want to spend all that time and money? Well, those men had character. And we want our younger generation to think that nobody ever had character. That there never were any men of integrity. That they were just wicked and full of the devil like everybody else. And I'm not trying to make perfect saints out of them, but blessed be God, those men had some character. They had some backbone. They believed some things and they stood for it and they were willing to die for it. But we've made our younger generation think that our government is corrupt, that our leaders are corrupt, that our forefathers were phonies, and so therefore, they're not willing to go in the military, they're not willing to fight, they're not willing to defend, they're not willing to lay down their life for this country. If we ever have to go to war and they have a conscription, you're going to see people head to Canada by the millions. And you know what? Mamas and daddies are going to help them little worthless jerks. Well, they're not going to take my boy over there and kill him. This is your home he's defending. I'm getting sidetracked here, but I'm having fun. Now see, I'm one of the old timers. They used to say, America, love it or leave it. See, I still believe that. Now, if you're not one of the people that want to defend America, if you're not red, white, and blue, if you're not willing to leave your family and go off and fight, do me a favor. Don't let me know. Do me a second favor. Stay away from me. I might guess it. And me and you are not going to get along. Good men for 200 years have suffered and bled and died, lost their fortunes, lost their families, lost their health, lost their lives, so that you and I could be here tonight.
Amen.
And I don't know about you. You say, well, America's got this problem and that problem. That may be so. But my wife is here. My young'uns are here. My grand-young'uns are here. And by the grace of God, I'm willing to shed the blood in these veins to make sure they stay safe and sound. And if you don't mind, I'd much rather do it in Afghanistan or Nairobi or on the streets of Moscow than to do it here. If we got to blow somebody's house all to hell and back, let it be somebody else's. Let's go over there and fight.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's my red, white, and blue 4th of July speech. I get sick and tired of that nonsense. But God, this is where our family's at. This is where our life's at. If it's not worth defending, you know what that says? That says your family's not worth dying for. That's what that says. You know what that says? That says you're gutless. You're yellow. Now see, I'm getting all upset. And I wasn't going to change points here. Look at verse 10 again. Now, these presidents and princes sought occasion against Daniel. This whole crowd had conspired to get this decree passed. And they were all going by. None of them guys were praying to anybody but the king. None of those guys were asking a petition of anybody but the king. Except Daniel. Not only did Daniel have conviction, he thought some things were worth dying for. He didn't go along with the crowd. I get so sick and tired of everybody saying, well, a preacher, everybody's doing it. Well, the church down the street's doing it. Well, the Methodists do it, and the Presbyterians do it, and the Southern Baptists do it. I don't care. I don't know how long you've got to go here to figure that out. I don't care what the rest of them are doing. I'm only interested in what this one's doing. And by the grace of God, we're going to do right. If it hair lifts every cow in Texas. Well, preacher, nobody understands you. I don't care. Do you know how much that bothers me? Listen, God is my witness. I ain't lost a minute's sleep in my lifetime of worrying about it. Amen? I'm just interested is in this church. This church, is this one right with God? Are we doing the best we can to live as godly as we can and give honor and glory to Jesus Christ? Are we preaching the truth and standing for the truth? Are we willing to die for our conviction? Is this a real church of the Jesus Christ? Is this a New Testament Baptist church? If it is, I don't care about the rest of them. They can do what they want to. It's a free country. I'm concerned about this one. I care about this one. Now, I wish all the rest of them would do right. I don't have any control over that. I pastor this one. We're not going along with the crowd. There's two paths out there. There's the broad way and the narrow way. The broad way, the Bible said, leads to destruction. You just figure out which one you want on. He said, well, everybody's doing it, preacher. Well, I know they didn't used to, you know, but people have rethought it and now they've kind of changed their mind. Things are different now. No, they're not. I've been preaching 30 years and I got convictions 30 years ago and I still got them tonight and I'm going to have them tomorrow and by the grace of God, I'm going to have them the day I die and you can have them or not have them. It ain't going to change me a nickel's worth. This church is going to stay just like it's been by the grace of God until the day I die or until Jesus comes and takes us home. Amen. So, well, preacher, all them churches wearing shorts and stuff, I don't care. Why, First Baptist just took their young people and went to the beach for a weekend. I don't care. We're not going. Amen. You ladies can wear shorts to church if you want to. Okay, you got my permission. But if you do, I so help me God, I'm going to have every man in this place stand up and gawk at you. Surround you and look at you until you're so embarrassed you turn red and melt into the floor. Go ahead. Think it's all right? Help yourself. Where's your conviction? If you can't wear it to church, you ought not to wear it anywhere. He did not go along with the crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't go along with the crowd and go with God. Listen. Anybody with any brains in their head ought to know that the world is not going with God. The world is going against God. How in the world do you think you can go with the world and go with God when you got to admit the world going away from God? I mean, what kind of brains does it take to figure that out? Mamas and dads up to here in a car, 3,000 pounds on 300 horsepower with no experience, trying to press your 15-year-old daughter because he has immoral and ungodly and wicked intentions. And he's got a little girl that doesn't know how to protect herself and doesn't know what's going down and who is as curious about what's going on as that little old boy is. And you let them out there by themselves. Somebody will take you out and horsewhip you. You ain't got enough sense to breathe by yourself. It ought to be illegal for you to be allowed on the street. Amen. You're wondering, preacher, I just don't know how this happened. I do. They had idiots for mamas and daddies. That's how it happened. Amen. Well, preacher, times have changed. It's not like, not in my house. Amen. Matt Lee, how old are you? 33. So you might as well tell because I was going to. You ever been on a single date? Not in her whole lifetime. She got married and didn't have to go on a single date. And her sister didn't either. Amen. Amen. Preacher, I just don't know how you could do that. It was real easy. Real easy. I don't trust her. I don't trust him. I don't trust the flesh. The little old boys and girls say, preacher, you, mom and daddy just don't trust us. Good. We are of them that have no confidence in the flesh, especially teenage flesh. I'll get back to the message in a minute. This is a really good place to run rabbits, so I'm just... Now, y'all know how I am. Sometimes I get stuff in me. I got to get it out. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, he said, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. There was a price to pay for being a man of principle. Not everybody's going to understand you. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to think you're right. Matter of fact, a lot of them are going to think you're about half crazy. I'm so used to that, it don't even bother me anymore. My preacher brethren, God bless their heart, every last one of them thinks I'm half crazy. I'm serious to heart attack. You ought to listen to them when we go to fellowship sometime. They said, Brother Hensley, we love you, but... I said, well, here we go. Why do you do this? Why don't you do that? I thought, why don't you shut up? Why don't you mind your own business? I ain't come to your church to tell you how to do it. Amen. And God knows I think you're wrong. Amen. Right, it don't even bother me. I just listen to it. I just let it roll off anymore. I just ignore them. But I want to tell you something, boy. A lot of people have a hard time doing that. When you live for God, when you make that Bible the rule of your life, when you decide to come out from among them and be you separate and touch not the unclean thing, there will be a price to pay for you coming out for God. The world is not going to let you be different. The world is not going to let you serve God and get away with it.
They're going to ostracize you. They're going to penalize you. They're going to lie about you and misrepresent you. They're going to tell you what a kook you are. You're an old holy roller, Bible thumping, Jesus loving fanatic, Bible thumper. Well, don't you think, preacher, don't you think you could be right with God and just ease up a little bit right here? Don't you think you could be right with God and not have to do this? Well, no, preacher, don't you think a man could be saved and right with God and still do that? Listen to my answer to all those inquiries. No! Got it? If it's doubtful, it's damnable. You know what the Bible said? It said they were damned because they ate not of faith. If it's doubtful, leave it alone. He said, preacher, well, I'm just not sure whether it's right or not. So we're going to do this until we make up our mind. No, stupid. You don't do it until you make up your mind. Amen. You know what happened? You go out there, people go and say, well, we're not sure, but we're just going to go ahead and we're going to let the kids do it until we pray about it and make up our mind. Then we'll... No, you won't. Once you start, you ain't quitting. You're about half crazy is what you are. Amen. Whoever dabbled in sin one time and let it go? What little boy ever conquered a little girl in the back seat of the car and let it go at once? That's what I thought. Well, come on, sweetheart. It's not new territory. Amen. The thing to do is, if it's questionable, if it's doubtful, just don't do it until you know for sure whether it's right or wrong. You're better off not to. Say no. There's a price. These people didn't like Daniel because of his conviction and his principle. Look down in verse 16 again. And the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now the king's convinced that God's going to get him through this. They're going to put him in the lion's den anyway. And whether he lives or whether he dies, Daniel knows his conscience is clear. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't make everybody in the world think that you're right. You can't make everybody think that you're honest or that your motives are honest or pure. You can't do that. Some people will believe you and some won't. Don't worry about it. Don't spend any time trying. Don't try to make folks think that you're this godly person or that godly person. Just live your life for God, pure and clean and simple and honest. And then whether they believe or don't believe, whether you live or die, you and God know. And that's all that counts. Now, if folks think that you're a person of God, that's a blessing. But if they don't, shouldn't make any difference. You ought to live your life for God anyway. Amen. Now some of y'all think the preacher Hensley ought to change some of his ways and his style of preaching. Well, you're wasting your time. I got convictions about the way I preach. I got convictions about the way I believe. I spent a long time getting them. And I've been working on them a long time. It's going to take a lot better than you to change my mind. Amen. Now there may be a price to pay. We may never be a big church. I've grown accustomed to that fact. I would like to pastor 2,000. I don't see it on the horizon. But I'd rather have 20 that know that book and love the God of that book and will live for the God of that book and take a stand for right. Have some conviction and some principle. Give me that 20. If I could march through the pearly gates of heaven after 30 or 40 years in the ministry and God looked down and say, you only had 20, but you didn't change, you didn't give up, you taught them right, you gave them the truth, you stood by it, and they believed you and they followed you and they lived their life for the glory of God, God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for your applause. And you ought not to be looking for the applause or the acceptance of the world. You ought to be looking for God. Hey, one of these days, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So, well, preacher, well, what if we believe something and you don't agree with us? Ladies and gentlemen, if you honestly believe it before God, I'm not saying don't say I believe it just so you can do something. I'm talking about if you really believe it. You've got to live your convictions. You can't live mine. Listen to me. I'm not going to live yours. I'm right. And I know I'm right. I'm convinced of it. And I'm going to live by it, by the grace of God. The honest truth is, if you're an honest man or a woman, we'll be agreed on about 99% of that stuff. And the little old things where we disagree won't amount to a hill of beans. If there's a big difference because you've departed from the path, that's the problem. Daniel's conscience was clear. Look down in verse 22. I'm trying to hurry here. In verse 22, it said, my God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. Daniel is delivered. Daniel is vindicated in the end. Whoever heard of putting a man in a lion's den with 25 or 30 hungry African lions and the fellow still being alive when the sun come up in the morning? Personally, I would have been dead when they closed the door. Do you know what heart failure is? I had one growl at me one time. I almost died right there. We were at the Norfolk Zoo and had a bunch of kids over there, and they had a full-grown female African lion in this cage, pen, whatever it is. And she was behind me, and there was a rock wall thing there, and then the fence. And I just sitting down on that rock wall, and that lion was behind me. I wasn't paying her any attention. She just moseying around. And I'm sitting there, and we were shooting breeze, talking or something. And all of a sudden, that lion roared. That fool thing had come up behind me, and the kids had enticed it with something, throwing it cookies or sandwich, whatever, which you're not supposed to do. And that lion, 4 feet behind my head, opened that big old mouth. Honestly, that mouth is that wide. And roared. It sounded like a jet airplane. I had goosebumps on top of goosebumps, buddy. I mean, I had cold chills from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I thought my toenails were going to come off. Now, that is one scary thing. I did. I came off that wall. Why am I telling y'all about that lion? When they closed that gate, I'd have died right there. Them lions are scary, boy. The tail on that lion, she wasn't a great big lion, just regular old girl lion, but her tail was about that big around. I mean, she could have broke your leg if she'd have swished you with it. This guy's in a pen with 25 or 30 of them things all night long. And when the king comes down there in the morning, I tell you, you talking about faith. You worry about Peter sinking on the rock when he walked on the water. Man, this king came out, the king of the country came out and to the lion den and stuck his head down there and said, Daniel, you in there, boy? Hey, Dan. He said, yes, sir. What can I do for you? I thought, man, this guy has got faith. I would have wrote Daniel off if you just want to know the truth. That boy was history. I wouldn't have went and looked out there. I told them fellas, go clean up the mess. Bury the bones. The king went out to see. That just amazes me. So why was Daniel alive? Look at verse 22 again. My God sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Why was Daniel vindicated? Why was Daniel delivered? Because he was innocent before God, and God protected him. You want the blessings of God in your life? You want the protection of God on your life? Live right. Live right. Find all the sin in your life, confess it, and forsake it. Find out what God wants you to do. Figure out how God wants you to live. Live that way. Live that way. Live that way. Serve God with a pure heart. Be honest. Have principle. Have character. Have some integrity. And then when trouble comes and you're falsely accused like Daniel was, God will take your side.
People say, well, preacher, sometimes don't bad things happen to good people? Don't God's people suffer sometimes? Yeah, they do. Do Christians get killed sometimes? Yes, they do. God doesn't always see fit to deliver. But I'm persuaded that you've got a better shot at it if you live right than if you live wrong. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've got a lot more confidence in my prayer life when I think everything's right between me and God. When I've gotten a little cold and a little indifferent, maybe a little backslid, I don't pray with near the same intensity or the same faith as when I know everything's right. When I've been confessing for 2 or 3 hours and I got everything under the blood, boy, I can be bold as a lion. Amen? But if you've got secret sin, if you put the world ahead of God, if you put job or position or family or anything ahead of God, it's very difficult. It is very difficult when trouble comes to pray with real expectancy, because you've always got this sneaking suspicion there's something between you and Him. And it hinders your prayer life. You're better off to live for God. Christians need to have some principle in their life. There's some things we believe. There's some things that are right. I was talking to my wife the other day. I was upset. I'm upset a lot. Y'all just don't have any idea how much. But I listened to a report, and they had 15,000 young people who go to Christian schools. Some questions about whether they believe in God, whether they believe the Bible, and this, that, and the other. And over 85% of those young people who go to church and who are in Christian schools or in Christian colleges, over 85% of them do not believe that there is any absolute right or wrong outside of themselves. That's a staggering number. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some absolute truths. Absolute. They don't change. They don't change with time. They don't change with country. They don't change with race. They don't change with denomination. They don't change with sex. They're so. They're so. Whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it, they're absolute. They're axiomatic. They change not. They're just as fixed and just as sure as God Himself. We ought to live by them. You ought to search and say, this is true. This is so. And by the grace of God, I will live by that principle. And then whether it's popular or not popular, whether it goes with the world or against the world, whether you're understood or misunderstood, in your heart, between you and God, you've got it settled. This is right. I'm going to live by it. I'm going to die by it. I will not. I will not. I will not change. Because this is right. This is absolute truth. Daniel was a man of principle. He had character.
He had convictions. He not only lived by them, he was willing to die for them. And that's where we need to be. It's not going to be long if Jesus doesn't come. I'm praying that he does. But if Jesus doesn't come, not going to be long. We separate the men from the boys. We find out who's real and who's just playing church. Not going to be long till the religious climate in our country is in such a condition that it's not going to be popular to be a Christian anymore. And there's going to be a price to pay for following Jesus Christ. And you're going to see people that you thought were the real thing bailing out right and left. If you can't live for God now in the time of peace when it's easy, when there's no penalty to pay, no price to pay, believe me, you will not live for God when the going gets tough. You might as well just start practicing living for God now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, I understand that.